Friends in Christ, first of all, I bring greetings from my church, Dili Ao. It's not Ao, but Ao. We call Ao. Dili Ao Baptist Church. And from my friend, my family. It is such an honor for me to be with you tonight. DBR and his wife, Runel, has so much interested to invite me here in this service, so I was glad to be with you tonight. We have very powerful worship service here. I just want to tell you one or two things which God is in a very mysterious way doing for His glory and to extend His kingdom and everywhere in the world. For 6-7 years ago, we call Uncle Peter, Peter Wimmerland. He has a heart for Naga students around the cities in India. Nagaland is a so remote state in northeast India. The distance is the train by train distance is more than 2,300 or so. We share our border with Myanmar. Now Myanmar we call Burma. Now it's Myanmar. So we live in a very remote corner of India. So the Delhi is the hub or the educational destination of our Northeast India people. We have 7 Northeast India states. People, mostly people look like us. In India, in Delhi, the capital city of India, we are almost sometimes discriminated. Because you are from Nepal or from China or from Korea. So they don't consider us as an Indian. All right. Even in Johannesburg also, the immigration, when I go through, she did not believe that I'm Indian. But say I'll believe I'm Indian. So Peter Wimmerland, Uncle Peter Wimmerland was the heart of Naga, and especially Naga student community. So by that we were connected. And I came to Delhi to look up the small congregation, Ao tribe from Nagaland. And the congregation is mostly students, working youth like you, and especially the younger families only. We don't have older families. I'm older than all of them. And they are below 50s, and then 40s and 30s. So I feel I'm also like young. You may not just believe that I'm older now. I think I will hide my age. Okay, let's turn to the point. So Peter Wimmerland was the instrument to connect us. Okay, South Africa, Christians, especially the Great Commissions and the Super Church. Your pastor, Rost, has visited 2 times, 2013 and 2014. He spoke to our church. Peter Junior, Peter spoke to our church, and DVR, his wife, and who is that? Jackie Weston, Christelia Bradley, and some more visited the last year. Our church, and we had a very good fellowship. And also this last year, a team of 12 persons came to our church and ministered to us. They have visited at least 317 persons. personally given the counseling and then the evangelism work. For 12 full days, you were with us ministering with the youth, with the in the marriage, intercultural, and also the young professionals. Delhi is a vast city, big city, with having 2.5 million. So it's so crowded, and such a so crowded and then very suffocating situation. But you did your best, and God used them. And even this year also, from Jonas, my team, three of them will come and minister to, will be ministry to us, or to the evangelism work. And because 9th you will be reaching, and till 17th you will be with us. So we have strongly connected with the Schubert Church, South Africa, because of the work that has been given to us. So I must just express my gratitude to you, because you have the zeal to proclaim or to go out and to minister to different or to reach the unreached people. Delhi is a blessed, 2.5 million is not a joke. Only Christian community, Christian population is 3. Yeah, very few. So such a vast field that we need to discover. Dominated by the Hindu, Muslims, of course, there, but a little less percentage. And Christians, a minority. No one will believe that we exist. And the government of India also not so much by the word, he say that no one will be discriminated, but by action, now many churches also have been threatened and ransacked. So that is a condition. But we have to take the challenge. That's all. My ministry, my church is a small, a new one, and as I told you, consists of the students, university students, and working youth, young girls only. So I feel I'm like a youth director or youth worker. But I cannot, because we have a lot of distance with the young. I'm 60 years old, okay. But I need to be with them because the work demands me to be there. And we have the Naga students more than 3,000 or around 3,000. You see, which I just talk about one tribe, but we have 16 tribes. And many students are coming and many young professionals are there, but they are mingled with the world. It is our challenge. It is our duty to reach them and to feed them, to disciple them. That is a challenge we have. I just want to share. And now Peter, Junior Peter is so kind and he's so interested. Again, he's taking over his father's vision to love Naga. And he's always connected with our church or Naga church. And he's just trying to press into North India, the Himalayan network, means to Bhutan, to Nepal. So we are also part of that. We just support, prayer support only we can extend. But when you come to Delhi, we are there to help you, to guide you. So you're most welcome, pray for us, so that we can be partnered together. As the Shobha Church is so outgoing, because you are for sure that God has released you from the curse of sin, from the curse of death, and from the curse of eternal condemnation or eternal punishment, and then we are free, we have eternal life, we are eternally free, and to be with us. So we need to proclaim that good news. Not giving for our own. But now I see the spirit of the mission in Shobar Church and Shobar Christians. So now I feel like home. I feel like with my family because there we are and all. Because we are so acquainted with the Shobar Christian Church. And Rose is our pastor, and he's very much connected with us. Thank you so much for giving time. I actually.
Thank you very much, Pastor Alem. I want to introduce my guests to please join me on the stage. Guys, we're going to do church a bit differently tonight. if you haven't realized that I sort of changed the way we do things, I'm going to have a few guests on the stage here tonight, and the idea for us is, or for them, I'm going to be facilitating the discussion tonight, but the guys will introduce themselves in a little while. But they're basically just going to share testimonies out of their own lives of what they've been doing and how they've been serving in the church, specifically when, you know, while they were working and while they were doing family and while they were doing life, if I can call it that. Tracy's busy with the lights here. So I'm going to ask the guys just to introduce themselves in a short while, but I really want to ask you guys to open your hearts tonight. Before the service, we really prayed and said we want to trust that everybody gets something tonight, like we usually would pray. But I really want to encourage you guys to open your hearts tonight and to listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Okay, there's going to be 6 different stories or maybe more, just in terms of testimonies of what the Lord has told them on how to build the kingdom, how to be part of the ministry, how to be serving the church whilst they do busy doing life. Okay, so that's basically what we're going to be doing. Let me just quickly get up here. Pastor Alem, I just want to, before we start, say, if I can look like you when I'm 60, I'll consider myself very blessed. Even at 50. Okay, so I think maybe what you should do is maybe just introduce yourselves. We can start there at the end with Willem, and then we'll take it from there. Just a quick introduction, who you are. I'll speak more in terms of where you were involved a little bit later. Just quickly, hello, this is who I am.
Okay, I'm Willem, hello. I think lots of you know me, but I do see some faces I don't know. So I serve in the band, and I've been in Shofar since 2003. I'm married to Melissa with 2 beautiful little daughters, and that's probably all you need to know for now. I'm an investment consultant, but I don't give personal financial advice, just to corporates. If you really ask nicely, I might.
Okay, good evening. My name is Celine Turin. Yes, that unfortunately does rhyme. Be careful who you choose when you marry. I'm married to... I'm married to Jacques. We have a daughter, Yanni. She's only 4 months old. So we tired a lot, but that's fine. I'm a teacher. I teach at Settlers High School. I'm a physical science teacher. Yeah, and that's me.
Hello, everyone. My name is Debia, and I am a son of God.
Yes!
And I'm married to Runel, I'm qualified as an industrial psychologist, and I practice by consulting in the agricultural industry.
Okay, hi guys. As Deva said, my name is Runal, and as you've seen earlier, I work for the church in the office. So if you want to know anything about the church, you can just ask me or mail the office.
Hi.
Sorry, just excuse me for a second.
Thank you very much. My name is Tilman, and I'm an electronic engineer. I work in town, live in Durbanville. I've got a family as well, beautiful wife, two kids, and that's me.
I just checked my Twitter account. It says that I'm an entrepreneur, a husband to one wife, a father to a legend, and a co-founder of Building ZA.
Okay, great guys, thanks. My name is Heinrich. I quickly said maybe I could just introduce myself as well. I know these guys pretty well, and I really have a lot of respect for each one of them. I come a long way. Some of them I've been, I think, Celine, we were in cell like probably 7 cells or whatever. So I'm not going to say I know everybody, but yeah, I really have respect for all these guys. Before we get there, yeah, also married to Milani, who is coincidentally currently in Delhi for about 5 days. I said to Pastor Alem. We've also got, 2 children. My wife's expecting our 3rd little baby. Yeah. So very excited. And I work in the retail industry, and that's it from my side. So just to kick off, I think I'm going to ask Willem if we can pass the mic on to Willem there. We can start there. Just to share a bit in terms of Willem was part of the church plant in Milnerton, and he can share a bit more, but just in general tell his story of how did it happen that he got involved there, and also just what the Lord actually did during that time in his life. So Willem, I give over to you.
Thanks, Heinrich. It was Table View, sort of close to Milnerton, and then it wasn't really part of the plant. It was 2 years later. So, but except for that, it was perfect. It's actually Melissa's sister, Charlene, and her husband, Tiens. They planted the church in Table View, and so obviously we had this family connection, but we kept serving around here. And then about 2 years in, the church in Tableview was actually struggling a bit. They'd lost some people that were serving there, and the numbers were quite small. So they actually just asked us. And at that time, Melissa was teaching, and it was asked Celine Turin. It's not so easy teaching. Melissa was really actually struggling at that time. So our life pretty much consisted of, trying to get through this phase of teaching and her adapting to the school and the politics and the blah, blah, blah. You can ask Ernst as well. So it was kind of surviving at that stage. So we were thinking, yo, this is probably a good opportunity, but it's going to take some effort. We're going to have to drive through. It's going to cost us petrol money. We thought we didn't have a lot of money then, but we didn't have kids yet. So we actually realized afterward that you can be pressed more, but it was the petrol money, it was the time, it was the fact that we'd been in cell with Heinrich and Celine stuff beforehand. So it was a comfortable place and people we knew and got along with well. So it was to leave that. So we were thinking, okay, should we, shouldn't we? And we prayed about it and we really felt the Lord release us to do it. So we just said, okay, well, look, it's going to be it's either 100% or it's nothing. So we're not going to go every second week or so. So we said, okay, we'll go to church every week. We'll go to cell group. I joined the band. We led a cell group. And then if they had prayer meetings or whatever, excuse me, we went through for that. So, and it just ended up being such a blessed experience. I mean, in that year, I'd say my heart regained a lot of passion for building the church, which I think had grown a bit cold before that, because I was very much focused on survival and kind of the everyday things. And so by the end of that year, I was so passionate about building the house of the Lord, and I'd experienced God work through me. I was surprised when we left there and people were so complimentary of how much we added to the church. And I was like, yes, we did nothing. We came every Sunday and Wednesdays and stuff. But I mean, it was just a willing heart. That's actually all it was. But they were really blessed by it. And so, yeah, just to see the way that the Lord, established leaders in the time, the nice thing was we knew we were going to be there for a year. That was our commitment. So we knew, you know, it's not forever. We need to be strategic about what we do. So we identified people that we thought, yo, okay, potential to lead and whatever. We were very strategic about what we did. And I think that's something we lose sometimes in church because we think, ah, I'll do it later or whatever. To just be strategic. So it was really a wonderful thing for us. And I was just thinking, Heinrich was mentioning beforehand that we also just think about what the Lord did in that year. One thing that I can think of is because Tableview is so small, and I mean the band was really small, up until then, I could, if you forced me, I could sing over the mic a little bit, and that was basically it. But over that year, I started playing guitar in church and leading on the guitar, and Jan played with me, Jan and Shan also served there. And it was amazing what the Lord also just came and established in me, and also in Melissa. So I could also, I actually learned a lot in terms of the band. And yeah, I mean, the things that I learned from that year, I'd say really changed the way that I can serve in the church now. And then just one other point, as I was saying, it was a tough time for Melissa. So, she actually said beforehand, look, she probably won't be able to do as much serving in the church and stuff, but she'll be there supporting, and she's committed. So for her, you know, the Lord met her where she was at, and she just had a willing heart as well. And the Lord did a lot through her heart, even though she didn't have specific places where she was serving. Yeah, so I think I've kind of covered that. I don't know if there's anything else you can ask.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks, Willem. I think maybe I'll get back later just to ask one or two testimonies. I think I'm going to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. So let's go to Debbie and Renel. So because you are one, you can decide who speaks when. But yeah, Debbie and Renel has been a blessing, obviously, to the congregation and to the Shofar movement. And they can say what's on their heart, but they've really been involved in missions and also with kin culture. And Debbie and Renel, I just want to invite you to share us a bit more around what the Lord has done in your heart.
Okay. I would really like to... I'm really excited to share with you what the Lord has done in our hearts and in my heart. And that scripture that speaks about the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers and the other one, who are there for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Okay, have you read that? The apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the evangelists and the other one are there for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So you and me, we are the saints. Okay. We're being equipped for the work of the ministry. So it's not our pastor who should do the ministry. He's equipping you to do the ministry. And that's where I come from. Like, that's my heart. Like, I know that I am called to live for the Lord with every minute of my life. So I'm not going to watch a movie if I can glorify God in that time rather. Because I only have got 8 years, maybe. Maybe I've got 8 years left. and then I'm going home. And then it's going to be trillions of years, so many that there's not even going to be time. So let's, you know, and the nice thing is that we don't have to fall around between serving everywhere and, you know, trying to do good works, because we don't need to do any good works, because our salvation is not through works but through faith and grace. And so it's, we can hear his voice. Okay. And I've got a lot of time. So I just speak to the Lord and hear what's on his heart, and that is what we do. And something else I would like to share is that what I've often found is that things, as what Willem also kind of shared, is that it seems like it's not a good idea, okay, for yourself, for your ministry, for your marriage, for your kids. It seems like it's not a good idea because it's going to be too hectic, it's going to be too much, or it's going to be too expensive, or it's going to take too much time. But if God's calling you to do something, then the opposite of what you think is going to happen will happen. Okay. He will bless your marriage more than ever with the 5 minutes that you have. Because those 5 minutes are going to be more amazing than the hour that you would have had, that you would have fought about something because you're being, you know, actually being selfish because you're not serving the Lord. You're just serving your own belly. At the home, a lot of time with your wife, but it's not really going anywhere. So we don't have a lot of time. We can hear God's voice. We are called to be the ministers of God. And that's what we do. So whatever he lays on our hearts, we do that with every minute that we have. So that's, and if I was there, then I would have been Jesus. I'm not Jesus, but that's the principle. And that's what God has done in my heart.
Okay, I think practically when there's something that comes on our path that's that we feel that Lord says we must do, we really seriously prayerfully consider it, and then we pray about it and we take time to speak to people about it and speak to the Lord about it and speak about it to each other a lot also. And then you also, it's not a quick decision if it's a big thing that we're involved in, because we don't want to waste our time. And we really want to do what the Lord says, and stay in his will, whatever it takes. And many times the things that we, that he says we must do, as Diebe said, it doesn't seem like the obvious thing to do. But then if you really bring it to the Lord, he really brings the calm and the peace. And then you will really know and get that peace. And something that I've really learned, as I think, as Willem said, is, you must just take whatever is the little thing that the Lord says you must do now, and you do that, and you stay faithful in that. Because we weren't called to be successful as much as we were called to be faithful. And being faithful in the little really brings you to a place of success, not in the world's sense, but for the Lord and for the work that you're doing for the Lord. So bringing what you have is more than enough. And when we started with King Culture, when we started with meetings, I didn't know where my place was, because Debbie is this visionary and I'm a servant. And then I just start writing up the minutes, and I would compile them and send them out the next morning. And that really brought a lot of structure. And that was a blessing in that season, in the work of things that was going at that stage. And now I'm not doing the minutes anymore, because that time has now passed. But in that time, it was being faithful in the little, and that really was the little building block that the Lord said I must do. And even if it's just making food for my husband, being ready when we have to be at a meeting. If that is what I have to do today, and I don't have a specific place or a specific job or something to say at the meeting, but I can just make sure that my husband will be on time and he will be ready to go, that's serving the Lord in the faithful, in the little.
Amen. Can I say one more thing? There's one thing I wanted to say that I also forgot, and that is that Jesus, and this is something that we've lost, okay? Jesus loved the church. He loves the church as his bride, okay? We are the church. He loves us as his bride. He died for us while we were still sinners. But so many of us, we don't love the church. A lot of you, a lot of us, we don't love the church. We've got issues with it. Okay, we think the church must serve us, or the church isn't lekker, or the church is this, or the church is that. Jesus loves the church. Love the church. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay. And I love the church. The church where I'm planted in is this one. Okay. I love this church and I will do whatever it takes to see it flourish. And sometimes I'm out of line and I'm out of step, but I'm going to be, I'm going to be passionate about it. Because Jesus is passionate about his church and he works only through his church. And we need to understand that. And we need to work together as a church to accomplish the vision of the Lord. So that I also just wanted to share.
Willem quickly wants to share something.
Debbie, kan inchop, kan ek ook. Now, I was just thinking of something while Debbie and Ronel were talking. And I hope you hear my heart, what I'm trying to say. We were made for covenant relationship. That's how God made us. If we're living for ourselves, we actually aren't made to be able to do that. So it never feels good. It never feels right. So if you think back to when you were saved the first time, okay? Most of us experienced a massive release after that. It's like suddenly everything makes sense. It's like beforehand, everything, you were just confused most of the time, and then suddenly you just, you're in God's presence and it's wonderful, and you might be serving or doing whatever, but things just flow and nothing is difficult. But then we go through times again, or maybe I'm the only one, but I'm pretty sure I'm not, that you kind of feel like, I can't describe it, but you feel blur. It's like nothing, everything doesn't click. You feel as though you're working towards everything. And I'll challenge you, 99% of the time, that's because you are focusing too much on yourself. You're focusing too much on what your problems are. And if you step into that covenant relationship where it's actually about what is God wanting to do now, your issues become so small, they're actually not an issue anymore. And it's not a funny thing. We were made that way. We were made for this covenant relationship with God. He's the only one that can satisfy that. Marriage only reflects that. It's not that. So marriage is wonderful, but that covenant relationship, God designed us for covenant with him. And when we serve him in however he leads us, like Debbie and Ronel were saying, I promise you, suddenly things just make sense again. You just experience it. Everything is just like when you were saved. So.
Awesome. You can give the mic to Celine Turin. Celine Turin. Okay. So Celine's been involved. It feels like I know Celine for forever. But because we've been in cell group for quite a few years, going back a couple of years. Not to give either of our age away. I'm much older than her, as you can see, but anyway. And Celine's really, she really has a heart for youth, and she's obviously a teacher, like she said, but she's really also been involved a lot in youth and youth camps. And, I just want to invite Celine to share something with us tonight, just in terms of, what the Lord has done in her heart and, where she's been involved.
When we got married, sorry, just before I get to the youth, my husband said he's going to make his ringtone on his phone, Celine Turin, Celine Turin, because it sounds like a ringtone. So now we can get that over and done with the jokes for the rest of the evening. Any case, so when I joined Shofar Tigerberg from Stellenbosch in my first year of teaching, and yes, Willem said his wife knows how difficult it is to teach. It's really, I think there's nothing that irritates me, my husband knows. People saying that teachers have a half-day job. Because it's definitely not a half-day job at all, okay? It is a very, very taxing job, especially in your first 3 years, just finding your feet in your subject and so forth, okay? So it was hectic me trying to adjust to that. So I get to church, and by default, because you're a teacher, you have to go on the youth leadership development camp. So basically, I didn't really have a choice, but that's great. It's fine. But because we teachers, we have holiday, the camp is in the holiday, so we go and facilitate the camp. So that was the second year that the Youth Leadership Development Camp was held by Shofar Tigerberg. It was a really amazing experience. I met my husband on that camp. And so that's awesome. So if you are single still and you want to meet someone, go serve somewhere at a ministry, it's awesome. Awesome. That's the people you want to marry. Then the next year we had another camp. And then that was the third year that the camp was running. And then we realized that there's actually a very big need for an actual youth service to start. We targeted the two main schools, which was my school and Marcel Goos, her school, because we there, it's easy. We have the interaction with the kids, so we can invite them. So we basically just, we saw a need. We didn't go, well, Ross just said, Marcel, Celine, go, you have to start a youth service. Okay, so here we are, we actually don't know anything. And we're like, Lord, please help us. And God is faithful. I mean, we really didn't know anything. So we actually learned to really be dependent on Him. Because we didn't know what to do, we had to ask Him the whole time. So where are we going? So what are we doing? So at that stage for me, it was the stage I actually was the closest with the Lord. Because I was so dependent to hear. Because I knew I am now responsible for these little young ones sitting in front of me. And they're broken. They were just broken. And that's where the need came from. That's what we saw. Like once they started to open up, the things that you see happening in their life, I was like, is this what you have to deal with? And you're only 15 years old. It's really, really hectic. But it was so amazing to see just how the Lord worked in all of their lives. But just in terms of the ministry. So I was single. I was teaching. It was hectic. At the end of the week, I didn't want to see any youth anymore. And then on Sundays, I wanted to just sleep. But then I knew I had to be at church at 4. We have to set up. We actually don't have a venue. We don't actually have a lot of stuff. But now we have to try to get everything ready. And then 5 people pitch. So we were like, Lord, what are we doing? There's 5 kids pitching. So what? But in that, the Lord also showed us that, and with that, I had to prepare sermons as well, me and Marcel, to preach every Sunday. And we're like 5 people sitting here, and I have to preach to you. But it was such a mind shift that we had to make that the Lord, despite there being 55-1, it doesn't matter. All that effort I would do for one child coming in the end. But that's something that the Lord had to come and show me in that time, is that each one of those children is there for a reason. And yes, there is only 5. But we had to be faithful in serving in that ministry. And as we were faithful in serving, the Lord came and the ministry grew and grew and grew. And that was just amazing to see. There were so many testimonies of other kids inviting friends and them getting saved there. The facilitators really became my friends. That's another thing. If you want to make friends, get to a ministry and serve with people. Serve and build the kingdom, build the church. That's where your hearts connect with people. My heart's connected with those facilitators. I see them not so often because I have a little baby and that's an adjustment as well. But when I see them, it's like I saw them just yesterday because our hearts connect immediately because we have something in common. We built together. So I just, in that time of my life, it could have been easy to say, work is hectic. I don't have the time to serve. It's easy. It's easy to be comfortable and just say on a Sunday evening, I'm going to take my nap the afternoon and then the evening I'm going to chill at home because Monday I must work again. But I actually want to challenge you that it's more rewarding and it's more fulfilling and enriching to actually go out there and to build God's church and to build the kingdom. Because many Sundays, guys, I said to Jacques, because then we started dating and we did the ministry together. And then we were like, oh, now we have to, and we had like nice lunch with the parents, and we're like, oh, now we have to go to youth. And I'm honest about that, because that's many times how we felt, because we were just tired, because both our jobs were taxing. But then those Sundays were the Sundays that the Lord really came through even more, and it was even so much more blessed. So it's really true that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's something that I really saw, is like, we just gave. And in this, another thing for me is that many times we think we have to get this big picture. There's many in church at the moment, there's many existing ministries where you can join to serve. And you don't have to get this major picture of this. You have to go there and there and there. Yes, you have to pray about it and you have to ask the Lord. But I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. There's a need. See the need. If it stirs your heart, then just join and just serve. That for me is what happened with youth. I have a passion for kids. We saw the need. We felt at peace that the Lord is saying doing this after we prayed about it. And we went. We went. I didn't wait for the rain to fall down and this to happen. And I'm not trying to be, I don't know what the word is, but I'm just saying sometimes we must stop waiting for this big thing saying to you, go there. Don't overcomplicate it. There's many needs. Ask the Lord what's going on, where, and just go then. Be his hands and feet. Help where you see help is needed.
Great, bye, dankie, Celine. Thank you very much. I'm going to give the mic to Tilman. I think just to add to what Celine was saying. Sorry, guys. A slip of the tongue. What Celine was saying is, Willem also said beforehand, you know, that a lot of the really great intimate friendships that he's had was people that he served with, you know, people that he really built the kingdom with. And, it's just amazing to hear you say that because I'm not that I want to cook the story, but I don't think she was present when he was telling that. So, that's really good to hear. And then just, to add to what Celine was saying, Tilman, maybe you can just share before you share just your story in terms of your, you know, how you've been serving the church. I know that Celine was just mentioning now that you see a need, you meet the need. Maybe you can just quickly share the story in terms of how you started playing electric guitar and how you started joining the band and, you know.
Okay, cool. So I'm currently heading up the worship here in Durbanville Shofar. But where it started is, I don't even know what year it was, but there was a specific need that they needed an electric guitarist, and I volunteered and gave my name up because they needed someone, and I've never played electric guitar in my life before. But Etienne, the leader at that stage, he came to me and he's like, so have you ever played a guitar? And I was like, yeah, I have before at high school. I played like Wheaters, Teenage Dirtbag kind of vibes, those kind of things. And he says, okay, great, so can you play electric guitar? I was like, oh, I don't know, my roommate was like electric guitarist, so you could wax it. So probably, he's like, okay, great, you can repent later, just come join the team now. So I went out and I bought electric guitar and got a pedal and all the gear and stuff and started playing, and then that's how I started serving. And from there, I was actually involved in quite a few parts of the worship team. They needed a percussionist at some stage, so I learned to play a bit of djembe, and a couple of my mates bought me a djembe for my birthday. So I could serve in that. And then later on, I needed acoustic guitarist. So I played a little bit of, learned to play acoustic properly. And then, I served in that capacity as well. And then currently, so that's where I came from. And then, quite recently, I took the worship leader, left, he immigrated to Ireland. And my wife and myself, we took over the worship team responsibility, which is primarily to focus on the hearts and the worship leaders and the team as such. But when we took over, there was a lot of chaos at that stage. There was a lot of transition from a lot of changes happening in the office, people leaving and new people starting. And I saw that the admin was really struggling. There was so much inefficiency, not inefficiency really, but there was a lot of work. There was a lot of... Before Runel started. There was a lot of work involved in getting the team going and setting up the rosters. It would take weeks to set that up and getting all the emails out and getting all the organizing happening and arranging swap outs and all these things. So it was like a full-time job for someone to manage the admin of the worship team. And during that stage, I just decided, well, I'm just going to get involved and kind of help out and just to get the transition going. So I will take over the worship team roster or something like that. I just decided I'm just going to help out with the admin a little bit. And where it started was, I decided to just make the contact list online so that anyone can at any stage access the contact list and get in touch with any of the other worship members at any stage. And that was great. And I was like, okay, cool. This is working like it. And I thought like, maybe I can set up the roster so that that's online as well. So it's always up to date. You don't have different versions of the roster and someone has an old roster so they don't know they're on duty, et cetera, et cetera. So I made that online as well. And I was like, okay, cool. That's quite cool. And then I was like, but maybe, I'm an electronic engineer. I've got a little bit of skill in programming, so maybe I can figure out a way to let the emails be emailed automatically because the roster is there, so I can maybe write a script to go through the roster and see who's on duty next week, and then it'll just email those people. So then it just like started building, and I just started, I actually spent a lot of time doing it, but I basically developed a little system that frees up the admin, the people involved with all the admin, like, really just freed up a lot of their time so they can focus less on the admin and more on the people, focus more on the things that are important and let the admin happen in the background. And, that was actually my big focus when I started, just to get the admin going before getting more involved with the rest of the team and stuff like that. And that's actually, that's been working quite well. I don't know, you can tell me if it's working well, Renal.
Yeah. Great, thanks, Tilman. Yeah, I think just before I give the mic to Conrad, to gaan voort, basically what I've just realized now is, Celine was also mentioning, and Debbie also a bit, is Tilman really found a place where he can serve the church with his skills. Obviously, he's got a certain skill set that he can use, which is practical. And then also on the other side, you know, we've heard testimonies of guys saying that, you know, I wasn't capable of doing it. Like Celine saying, they needed to run a new service from scratch, don't have any ministry training, don't have any preaching training. And they were really at a place where they had to trust the Lord. And I know it's very, sometimes very difficult for me to admit it, but I know that I'm nothing and I know very little, because the times when things go best and when you really give a word to somebody is when it's not me at all, when it's really when you're trusting the Lord to do something and when you really hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it just echoes exactly what the guys have been sharing. And, lastly, just want to ask Conrad, who's been really involved or pastoring, I can probably say, the urban church. You guys, I think some of you might know him and seen some of the videos that we've done with the urban church when we bought the building, etc. So yeah, Conrad, maybe you could just share with us what's on your heart and what the Lord has been doing in your heart.
So I've just at the back, standing at the back, I've just realized something, and I'll share that with you just now. But what happened was, a couple of years ago, I was sitting in the church in Tigerberg on campus, and I sort of looked around me, and it looked like this stage where everyone is pastors. Everyone just wants to minister something. But anyway, so I looked around me, and Heinrich was actually in this picture as well, and he remembers the conversation. And so I looked around me and I saw all these people that are just way more equipped than what I am to do any work for the ministry. So they're either engineers or they doctors or lawyers or, they're awesome guys that can design programs that is just so ridiculous. So, and I really wanted to do something for Jesus, but I was just recently saved and I really wanted to do something. And so I went back home, laid in my bed and prayed. I said, God, I will do, and just before I continue with this prayer, just think about when you pray, don't do this irresponsible, it's really irresponsible. I will do anything that thing that no one wants to do. I'll do that thing that no one wants to do. And so a couple of weeks down the line, we started a soup kitchen, which is horrible. It is horrible to do soup kitchens on Sundays. No one wants to do that because no one's there. And I cannot even hold the mic properly. And I preach every Sunday. But anyway, so I did the soup kitchen thing and we actually did it, and I'll get to that now. But I think the first Sunday that I was allowed to and it's actually funny that Bible's over there, but the first Sunday that I was allowed to tell people about Jesus, I opened up exactly the same Bible, and it started raining down on my Bible, and because we were outside, and so I closed the Bible because it's really expensive, and we gave food to the people, and they went home. And so you guys know the rest of the story. You know that Urban has grown tremendously. You know that those people are coming to the knowledge of Christ in a ridiculous rate. The testimonies that go out there is so phenomenal. I can actually just tell you stories hourly on what's busy happening. It's really ridiculous of what God's busy doing in this church. But the thing is, I was standing at the back there and I'm thinking to myself, it is so cool that we have a panel like this. It's so cool that we have a panel like this, but there's so many faces in this crowd today that has actually been involved at Shofar Urban or some of these stories. And there's some of you guys that actually need to be involved in some of these stories. And the cool thing is there's going to come a day, and this is where the pastor in me comes out. There's going to come a day where all of us are going to stand in front of an almighty God, and he's going to go, guy or girl, what did you do with the talents, with this ridiculous talent that I gave you? What did you do with that talent that I gave you? Or he's going to go, dude, I saw what you did there. And you're going to be filled with so much joy and whatever the case may be. If I tell Alexander, oh my goodness, that is so cool that you did that. He does this thing. So I would imagine that's what it's going to feel like one day, where God stands or where you stand in front of him and he goes, saw what you did there. And that's the end of that.
Great. Thanks, Conrad. I maybe just want to ask, I'm going to quickly ask Debbie and Ronell, just practically, you know, when you guys got involved, was it always a case where you really felt that it was something that you wanted to do? Or did you feel sometimes the Lord led you to do something that your human brain said to you, really, Lord, is this really what you want? And then, you know, maybe just share on that. If there was any cases like that, I don't know.
No, I've always just been doing exactly what I want to do. So. No. You want a specific example?
More than welcome to share one or two or, if you have one, you can share it. If you have one, you can share it.
Okay. We're in one like that at the moment where maybe because there wasn't one before, now praise the Lord, there's one now. And now I sound amazing. Maybe there's one now, and maybe this is a little an advertisement as well, but we just believe that the Lord is saying to the church that we need to start at living together and be in real community and have all things in common. And we believe that, you know, like, I have a few guys here, like Louis at the back and Christelle, and so I heard from the Lord that we need to start living together in the house. So then me and Ronell felt that we should live with everyone that wants to live together in this house as a married couple. And obviously that's a stupid idea. But that's what God's telling us that we have to do now. Okay? We have to find a house and live there with whoever of you is willing. Okay? And have all things in common and live as a family in a big house. Now, that doesn't fall, and we've had a lot of tears about it, exactly within it's gonna be awesome vibes, okay? And because it's not gonna be awesome if we are, we're a married couple, so there's a few practical issues. So, you know, and if you get kids, there's another couple of practical issues, but that's not the point. Like, the point is, God wants to do a prophetic thing. He's speaking. We must listen. We must do what he says. And we know enough by now that if we just follow him, it's going to be better than we ever expected. And all of the fears that everyone is laying on us in terms of everything that can go wrong and a marriage that's not going to work out, it's going to be exactly the opposite because we're walking in faith. Okay? So that's a situation like that. It would have been awesome to just buy a house now and have an awesome time, just me and her, but that's not what the Lord's saying. And so, quick advertisement. We've got a few spaces open in that house. So if the Lord's speaking to you about living in a community, then you can contact me and we can arrange that as soon as possible that you can come stay with us from the 1st of September and read Acts 2. Then you'll understand what it's about.
Great. Thank you very much, Debbie. Apparently it's a 14-bedroom house, so it's quite big. Thanks, guys. I really want to say thank you very much. I think it was great to hear your stories again. I know the stories and I've heard it before, but I think it's really encouraging. And just from my side, I want to share something. I remember when I was at Stellenbosch still, I was starting to work my first or second year, and I was doing Willem always jokes with me because he's an actuary and I'm a trucker. Okay, so please excuse me. I'm a trucker. But anyway, so because I'm a trucker, I was working really late hours and at the DC, and we were loading our trucks over December month, like until 2 a.m. And then the next morning, 6 o'clock, I had to be there. It's crazy season, working myself to a standstill. And I was doing Bible school at the same time. And, I was dating the most beautiful woman in the world, who's now my wife. So it was quite a hectic time. And then the one day the Lord said to me, okay, but it's got to do with my specific personality and temperament and everything. But I really felt the Lord was saying to me, Heinrich, I want you to understand that currently, okay, the more you do, the more I will equip you to do more. So it's not works-wise, but it's as if the Lord was saying to me, you can do it because I'll give you the strength to do it. Because you want, there were certain things, specifically with the Bible school, I was struggling to say, but Lord, I'm really tired. I'm really struggling. I want to do Bible school, but you know, you're going to have to help me out here. And I just felt the Lord was saying to me, if you do it, I'll give you the strength and I'll help you. So, yeah, just to share that out of my own life as well. And I want to thank you guys for sharing what you've shared with us. I really also want to tell you guys to take encouragement and also want to invite you. You know, if you don't matter in what phase or what area of your life you're being challenged in, I want to encourage you guys for yourself and for the kingdom. We really want to build the kingdom. We really want to see people getting saved. And when I look at you guys, I know quite a few of you guys. I know that you're really gifted, you're really talented. And I really believe that we can change the areas where we live in. I really believe, not us, but through the Lord working through us, we can change this whole area. We can change this whole, the Western Cape. We can change the country. We can change the continent. We can change the world through by the grace of God and our willing hearts. So I really want to encourage you guys to also get involved if you can, if you want to. If you don't want to, maybe just spend some time, ask the Lord what he's thinking about it. But so not to bring any condemnation or anything, but I really want to invite you guys to join in serving in the church where you can. And I want to pray for us before we have some coffee and have a nice discussion. I want to thank you awesome legends and legendesses for joining us on the stage tonight. Thanks for the babies being so quiet. Job well done there. I wanted to say earlier, I almost want to say noise. The sound you heard earlier was a baby crying. So just in case you were stressing. So I'm just quickly going to pray for us and then, we can have some nice coffee. Father, we thank you for an evening spent in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, just to hear what you've done through friends, through normal people, Lord, serving you, Lord, not knowing always what we're doing, Lord, but really having willing hearts, Father, and I want to thank you and pray your blessing over each and every one on the stage here, Father, and everyone sitting in this auditorium, even though that sounds a bit more fancy than what it probably is. Lord, just want to pray your blessing over everyone here tonight, Lord. Thank you that you're stirring our hearts, Lord, to see your kingdom come and to build your kingdom, Father. Thank you that you're equipping the saints, Lord, to do the work of the ministry, like Debbie was sharing earlier, Father. And thank you, Lord, that people will get saved, Lord, in our area, in our streets, in our areas where we live, Lord, at work, Father, because of the grace of God, Father, and because we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you, Father, that you go out and help us, Lord, to be a blessing to those around us, Father. And thank you that you grant us grace, Father, to go out and really testify, Lord, of your goodness and your grace and your mercy in our lives. I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, have an awesome week. Thanks for joining us tonight. Have some coffee. And I still want to just do one last invitation. I really still feel in my heart, if there's anybody that wants prayer for anything, if you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for a broken heart, like I shared earlier, we really want to pray with you guys. So I want to invite you to come forward for some prayer. Have a blessed week. Thanks.